Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On the show today, learn how Alex Kipp's battle with cancer led him to become a life purpose coach. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. On today's show, we do have Alex Kipp. Now, one of the things Alex does is he has a podcast called Soul Feed, but he's done a lot of other things. Alex, can you introduce yourself to the audience?
So yeah, my name's Alex. I help people create a life of purpose. Really, that's my purpose in this life, I feel like. And I do that through coaching. I do that through speaking. I do that through writing. And I just light people up, really, because I think we all have this inner light inside of us that's begging to come out. And I help people uncover that and really just get to work on what they want to do.
Now, Alex, you have a really interesting journey that you've traveled through. And so I selected a quote today that I'd like to read, and I'd love to hear your connection to it, okay?
Love it.
If you ask me what I came into this world to do, I will tell you I came to live out loud. And that is by Emily Zola. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can be very loud, baby. So, yeah, no, I love it. You know, it's interesting because living out loud, you know, requires you to be living your truth, right?
Right.
Whatever that is. And so I don't think people necessarily have to be loud, like in your face loud. But I think living a life out loud means that you're really living into something that's bigger than yourself, something that's bigger than your own limitations and your own fear, and just really courageously doing whatever you're meant to be doing or called to do inside. So I love that quote.
Right. And you know what I love about you is I had a karaoke business, just so you know, for 13 years with my husband.
So cool.
And so I'm a big fan of just busting out into song at any time. And that's one of the things you do on your podcast, Soul Feed.
Yeah. Yes.
That I really enjoy. So.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoy it. And I've like made a commitment and a vow to myself that whenever I go on anything, I have to like sing a little bit just so I don't like lose that part of me, you know, that is such a part of me.
Well, I think that's awesome. The only problem with me is I can't sing.
That's okay.
So yeah, that's the beauty of karaoke, right? Is anybody can do it. I think that's why our business was so successful here at the Jersey Shore, because my husband and I, we're just like everybody else.
Yeah. 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 It's funny. I have my own thoughts about karaoke.
I know, because you can sing, see? And anybody
yeah.
who, and my brother, I interviewed my brother because he has this huge passion for music. And sometimes he would have to fill in as sound man for my husband. And one night I had to walk up to him and say, Michael, can you seriously not look like you're being murdered right now? And he looked at me in complete pain and slowly turned his head and goes, it hurts my cabeza.
Oh, my God.
That's what he said. But, you know, one of my favorite places to go is the Duplex in the city. And I know you're in New York City.
Yeah.
I love the Duplex.
Are you in New York City? Or are you around New York City?
Jersey Shore.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
Right by Seaside here.
Yeah. I like to play a fun game with myself of what would be my version of hell. And one of my versions actually would be chained to a chair, listening to people sing karaoke who are tone deaf.
Yeah, but so. let me tell you something. We had just as many customers come in who did not sing, come in to listen to those people and clap for them than the people who could sing. Trust me when I say this. It was a whole community of fun.
I, I know. I'm a total jerk and a snob when it comes to that. And I admit it, but like we all have our flaws. So we'll start out with that. I am very flawed, everyone, as we all are. None of us are perfect. And the sooner we accept that, the sooner life is going to be amazing.
Well, and my listeners are about to get to know you better and they'll understand more why karaoke hurts you so badly.
Yeah, true, true.
Can you tell us, let's start with your passion. What is your passion and when did it begin for you?
Yes, that is a very complex question, I guess, because I think, you know, passion is all around, really. But I would say my first real passion was singing. As a little kid, you know, I was just always singing. I was always performing. It's pretty much all I knew, in a sense. And I was very good at it. I mean, not to toot my own horn or anything like that, but, you know, very early on, I was recognized as being an excellent singer. And I ended up going to the University of Michigan for musical theater, which is a really competitive school. I mean, they take about 10 boys and 10 girls out of 900 who audition, and thank God I got in. And so I was at the best university for singing all day, living my life, doing all that. And then, you know, my senior year, I got diagnosed with cancer, and I basically lost my singing voice, and I sounded like this for like 2 years where I couldn't sing at all. I could barely talk. I mean, if we were sitting across from each other, you wouldn't have been able to hear me, essentially.
Right.
That obviously set me down a very confusing path of sort of rediscovering myself and who I really was at my core, which is really none of those things that we think. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes total sense. So yeah. For you, what did it mean?
Well, for me, it meant that really we're whoever we say we are at the end of the day, you know?
Well, absolutely. And I study frequently. I read a lot of Dr. Wayne Dyer's books. And
yeah, he's great.
Yeah, and everything for him is your thoughts are everything. So
yeah, absolutely.
You are who you think you are. And one of the great things, I was on a plane, came back from Las Vegas last night. And one of the things that I was listening to on the plane was, well, after he was done saying, see, everything is thoughts. It's not in the past. It's the past are thoughts, the future's thoughts. And there isn't even a now because now is gone by the time I say it, you mm-hmm. know? And so one of the things that he was saying was that, you know, this woman said her husband calls her stupid. So she believes she's stupid. And so mm-hmm. he said, so if your husband comes in tomorrow and he calls you a car, are you mm-hmm. a car? And she goes, right. Well, no, that would be ridiculous.
Right.
So how is it ridiculous that, you know, when he calls you a car, you're not a car. But if he calls you stupid, you believe you're stupid. Where's the difference there?
Right. And it's just a construct of the mind. Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, this is sort of where I had these awakenings. And in fact, you mentioned Wayne Dyer and the first book I remember being sent to me when I was in the hospital was The Power of Intention. And I read that book, and at first I had so much resistance because I was very, very ego-driven and controlled at that time. And I had so much resistance reading that book. I was like, this is bullshit. Oops, am I allowed to cuss? I don't know.
You're okay.
I guess we just did. So people do that all the time on our podcast. They're like, am I allowed to cuss? I'm like, well, you just did. So right. I guess we can just keep going with it.
Just keep going.
But no, that's exactly right. And the point of me saying all that is that so often we limit ourselves by the labels we create. So for instance, you know, what's the most common question someone asks you when they first meet you?
Besides, how are you?
Yeah, how are you? And then normally they ask, what do you do?
Right.
Right.
Okay, yes. That's what I was thinking.
Right. And then how do we answer that question? Oh, I'm a lawyer, or oh, I'm an accountant, or oh, I'm a singer, or oh, I'm an actor. So, you know, we come up with these labels, but that's like the soul doesn't understand language like that, right? The soul doesn't understand these labels that we've essentially barricaded over our bodies. You know, it's like body armor in a sense. And so when I lost my singing voice, my whole life, I defined myself as a singer. So all of a sudden, literally that label was taken off of me against my own will. And I suddenly realized, well, not suddenly, it took a long time, but I suddenly realized like, wow, I'm not any of those things I thought I was, and I can be anything that I think I want to be.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a powerful thing to step into and to realize. And not to say that I shouldn't sing anymore or I shouldn't pursue, you know, a life of voice and all that, but that shouldn't be who I think I am. Like, at the end of the day, I'm, you know, we're all infinite beings connected to a higher source and a higher power within ourselves. Like, that's who we are. You just are. I am.
So after that point, what was your direction?
Yeah, well, after that point, my direction was, one, getting healed. You know, I mean, eventually they told me that I had a 15 to 30% chance of surviving. And that was pretty crazy to hear.
Petrifying.
Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, I knew that the only way to heal was to heal my mind, to heal my relationships, to heal sort of my inner game. Because before all this stuff happened, my voice only served myself. My voice only served my ego. My voice was only about, how can I be the next Broadway star? How can I be? Instead of remembering, like, why this voice, why all of our gifts are important.
Why was this voice gifted to me?
Exactly. And that was to help other people, you know? And I'll never forget one time my mom told me, you know, she wanted me to sing at church. And I was like, Mom, I don't want to sing at church. This is before all this happened. And she was like, Alex, you don't even realize how just singing changes people, how, like, your voice, your gift can just change people. And at the time, I did not understand what she was talking about. Because so often our talents, our gifts that are given to us, so often they're so easy and obvious to us that we're just like, well, that's nothing special. But no, that is what's special about you, you know?
Yeah. I usually ask people, you know, what do you think your mistake or disappointment was in this process? And it sounds to me that you're saying that you just didn't, you're like, you were just blinded by the fact that you didn't realize that your voice was a gift for other people. And that really kind of held you back from growing, because, you know, we grow more from what we take in than what we put out.
Yeah. My mistake was living from my ego and not from a place of service.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know,
that's exactly what it is.
And it sounds like, but how you overcame this was this health scare. And what, I mean, mm-hmm. 15 to 30% chance. Wow. You know, you're really lucky.
Yeah, I am very, very lucky. But I also think I worked very hard to survive, if that makes sense too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I believe in luck, obviously. I'm not saying that, because I know a lot of people who had the best positive attitude and the best people around them, and they didn't make it. At the same time, I know that that had a deep, deep impact on my healing and a deep, you know, reason why I'm still here today. And then my voice came back about 2 years later. And so now, you know, all I think about is how my voice can serve others, how my voice does matter.
And that just really brings me back to how life is such a process. I'm every time I do an interview, I'm always moved, or even have conversations with friends, I'm always really moved with how you can see a person's life process very clearly when you're on the outside speaking to people. So you know, connecting your dots of your life process and, you know, why other people didn't survive and you did, it's just their process was different. What were they here to accomplish? You know, their journey was a different one. I always believe that. And I believe, in my personal belief, I believe your fight, your intentions, your drive to work at that was part of your process to learn what you needed to learn. So now look at that. You just said 2 years later, my voice comes back and I have this totally different understanding of what I should be doing with it in the world.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, in a weird way, from the moment I was diagnosed, I was grateful that it happened, because right away it woke me up. I mean, I didn't quite piece together all this stuff that I've pieced together now, but even right then I woke up to the fact that, oh my God, like, this life is so precious, is so beautiful, you know? And I mean, at 22 years old, you're not thinking about things like that. You know, you're only thinking about, like, your own infallibility, how invincible you are, how strong you are. And when you actually, like, see death in front of you, you actually realize how beautiful life really is.
Yeah. And, you know, you just have this whole reality that, you know, nothing, when you get to a point where something, you have a medical issue that's really scary, it's amazing how nothing else matters. Everything else that you thought was so big,
yeah,
all those become so amazingly small. Paying the mortgage, you know, paying your rent, okay, yes, that's important, but on the scale of 1 to 10, like, I could die.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing matters but life itself.
Right.
However,
yep.
There's nothing wrong with still wanting to do big things, you know, and it's a balance, you know what I mean? Because definitely, you know, we can say things like the rent doesn't matter and the mortgage, but at the end of the day, you know, it does, you know. And so it's always just keeping in that balance. And for so long, I was always on the other side, you know, where I was just always about achievement and accomplishment and perfection and not about the gratitude wrapped within life itself. And both of those are good if they can be balanced together.
So this all led you to a direction. And I'm trying to figure out at what moment did you say, okay, I'm in the right spot now.
Well, I think we're always sort of in the right spot. I mean, I think sort of where you are is where you are. That can't really be changed right now, right? But I guess when did I maybe see that what I was doing was more in line with what I wanted to do? Is that what you mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I started seeing that when I started taking more control of my life. So again, it's sort of like right when it happened, right? I changed my eating habits. I changed just, again, the way I thought about myself. I started meditating. I started doing some inner work, all this stuff. And that's when I started to realize that I'm actually controlling my reality. We're all controlling our reality in some ways. I mean, you know, this is even scientific. For instance, if you close your eyes right now and imagine a beautiful beach or some mountainside or some place you've been before that you've seen before that is just so gorgeous, that just lights you up. You just close your eyes and imagine that now. You can see it in your head. There it is. Now, if you open your eyes, now, if I had hooked up wires to your brain, when you were seeing that image with your eyes closed, your brain actually thinks you're there. Your brain does not know the difference between what you imagine to be real and what is actually real. And so that has some really, really powerful implications if you can use that in the right way. Because the problem is so many of us are walking around imagining all these things that we don't want to be bringing into our reality, right?
Yes, and then they're training their brains to achieve those things.
Exactly. Or they are headed towards something, trying to achieve something, yet they're telling their brain the thing they don't want. As in, they're focused on what they don't want instead of what they actually want. I guess what I'm saying is the problem is that most people aren't aware of the kind of questions they're asking all day long.
Right.
They're not aware of how they're shaping their reality. So my point is that when I started learning all this stuff, to me, I started realizing and connecting the dots of why I got sick in the first place. I mean, epigenetically, you know, we know through science now that our genes are literally mutating all the time based on the environments we're in, based on the thoughts we think, based on the interactions we have. So again, that's really powerful if you understand that you can rewire your brain. You can essentially change your genes to be the way you want them to.
So what do you think you learned about yourself through this process?
What I learned about myself is that really, you know, there's just infinite potential for myself and for all others. And I learned that if I don't take control of my mind, my body, my spirit, my soul, then my life is going to be out of control and be bringing in things that I'm not even aware of or just things that I don't want. So obviously that whole cancer diagnosis, you know, that's enough to scare anyone to start finding solutions and to start finding answers. And these are a lot of the answers that I was finding. I mean, there's a lot of answers, you know? And so now it's my mission to really help people, one, never hopefully get into that kind of situation that I had to experience, or two, if they are in some kind of situation like that, start teaching them how to start reversing the process beyond just chemotherapy, beyond just radiation, beyond all that stuff, because it's like, what started the problem to begin with? Does that make sense?
It does. Did you get advice from anybody else along the way that helped you during that process as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always, you know, one of the things I'm always coaching people on is, who's doing what you want to do? Who's doing it at a huge level? And who do you need to model? So, you know, people, again, we were talking about Wayne Dyer. People like Wayne Dyer was reading all of his books. Eventually, you know, once I got better and I realized that I really wanted to be coaching people and helping people with these things, you know, I got trained through Tony Robbins, got trained as a hypnotherapist because I realized that so much of our problems start off at an unconscious level, and you have to be able to speak to someone unconsciously, to their unconscious mind, if you want to really make some deep changes in people. Because the problem is, we're all living out survival patterns, not patterns of purpose.
Right. That's a really valid point. We're living to survive and not living with purpose. And I know that's your specialty. Your specialty, you're a life coach, and your specialty is to help people find their purpose and live it.
Yeah. And that comes in many, you know, every client of mine has a different curriculum. And that's what's so beautiful. Because, for instance, the other day I was just working with someone and she's super, super clear on exactly who she wants to become, exactly what she wants to do. But there's just like a couple blocks that are in the way that she can't quite figure out. And so I can see those. I can see those blind spots, and I can see, okay, for your business, you need to do X, Y, and Z. You need to do this, this, and this. And that's going to help you with that. Now, another person I'm coaching with has no idea what she wants to do, but knows that she has this deeper calling to do something bigger than what she's doing now. And so then it's a whole different sort of curriculum for her.
So I'm just following our conversation here and looking at your life as it moved forward. So you know, you were in college, you got cancer, you know, it really made you introspective. It made you analyze who you've been, the direction you're going. You did a lot of self work, you know, finding your intentions and pushing forward, which then made you realize, you know, there's a lot of people who were you a few years ago who really don't realize that we have these intentions that we're not living, and a purpose that we haven't found yet, or that we're not striving for. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, and that we just have power that we aren't even aware of. You know, it's like, how do you claim your power? And that's what I help people do.
And you're really right, and you're really passionate about that. And the big purpose of this podcast is for people to find something that moves them like this moves you. And so the first question I want to ask you is, how did you start doing this? Were you working full time, or did you just dive into this? Because that's one of the questions for my audience as they're listening. People who are listening right now who have jobs that, you know, they do their jobs like a VP at a bank or anybody else, and they're interested in these things. Like, how would you direct them? Do you have a book that you could recommend?
I do have a book that I love. The Untethered Soul is a great book by Michael Singer. Also, we alluded to this earlier, The Power of Intention. It's a great book by Wayne Dyer. I mean, I could go on and on about books.
I have The Untethered Soul. I have not read it yet. I need to read that.
Gosh, that book. I mean, that, you know, it's funny. I think books find you in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
When I read that book, that was the exact book I needed at that exact time. And I remember just reading like the first page and I was just like, oh my God. And I just like kept reading and like could not put that book down. And that's not a mistake, right? Whatever author speaks to you, whatever poet speaks to you, like for instance, Rumi, I don't know if you've ever read Rumi.
Mm-hmm.
Rumi speaks to me. When I read Rumi, I feel something inside that I don't necessarily feel when I'm reading other authors, when I'm reading other writers. And so that's a hint right there for your listeners, for your audience. It's like, pay attention, like develop emotional intelligence. Pay attention to those things. We call them synchronicities, right?
Well, you have a whole podcast on synchronicity, and I recommend people listen to it because it I feel that when I was listening to that, I totally connected.
Yeah, it's a great one. So, I mean, you can just listen to it there. But essentially, the idea of synchronicity is that, like, God's whispering to you. The universe is whispering to you in subtle ways, right? In a sense, we're all looking for that moment of awakening. And I think that's what I really help people with. It's like their moment of awakening, because that's what happened to me. You know, it's like my disease was my moment of awakening. And I don't want that to be people's moments of awakening. But the problem is that God, the universe, spirit, love, whatever you want to call it, will always be trying to bring you back to your divine self, to your core, which is love. And if you're not open to it, it will give you an awakening in a way that you might not want.
And I think that we just get very distracted and weighed down by life, and we're so busy trying to do what we think we're supposed to do that the one thing that we're not enough of is we're just not still enough. It's like that we're fighting back the voice that's our subconscious and the voice inside that's telling us what to do because we're just so busy doing.
Exactly. And so let me break that down a little bit and explain that, because one, I want to operate under the assumption that there's nothing wrong with anyone listening to this podcast. There was nothing wrong with me. It's just that we had these survival patterns that we picked up as kids, that we picked up in our early childhood, you know, these original incidences that basically shaped and modeled the way that we look at the world. So unconsciously, you have a conscious mind and an unconscious mind. Your conscious mind is processing 6 things per second. Your unconscious mind is processing millions of things per second. So before the age of 6, your conscious mind hasn't even developed, but you're still taking in all kinds of information, right? So essentially your program is being set. Your program is being formed. So by the time your conscious mind develops, you already have this program that is like a tape recorder, right? It's like a loop. So until you can start disrupting that tape through like interrupting it, essentially, until you can start rewiring your brain in some ways or becoming aware of like what those things were, and not in a way that's debilitating. Like, for instance, I'll talk about myself, right? So my limiting belief for so long was that my voice didn't matter. Why was that? Because early on in elementary, I had this solo. It was one of my first solos, and I still sounded like a girl. And it was Oklahoma. So when I went out to sing, I sang like this. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. You know, and I sounded like a girl. And
it still sounds good to me.
Yeah, well, it sounds different now, right? But the problem was no one knew that I sounded like that. And so an entire rafter of people behind me, of all my like elementary school kids, started laughing hysterically at me. And one boy yelled out, "You sound like a girl," you know? Mm. And this dude was the kind of guy who like came out of the womb with a beard, you know? Like,
right, right.
And I didn't know it at the time, but that set up a thought that your voice doesn't matter. Even though I knew my voice doesn't matter, or I knew my voice does matter, and I went to school for it and did all this stuff, but unconsciously, my program was really saying your voice doesn't matter. And then look what happened to me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These things run deep. Like they're so connected. And at the same time, that is the lesson I need to learn the most. Does that make sense? That's what I help people unravel.
Is there an internet resource or some kind of app or anything that you tell people that you use that would be beneficial for this kind of discovering on their own? I know one thing you're into is Evernote.
Yeah, Evernote is great. I love Evernote because for me, it's just a place where I can dump all of the information I'm finding and all the research, and it's all in one place. So a lot of times if I'm in, that's where I do a lot of my like business stuff too, as in like, you know, okay, how do you build? Because that's the other thing I help people with. It's like once they've like figured it out, I like help them build their business out so that they can actually make some money doing this thing, right? Because that's the point. You want to be making money doing what you love. I mean, hopefully, you know? So a lot of times I'll just be like, oh, I know exactly where that is in Evernote. I'll copy it and I'll just send it off as like an additional resource to them.
Right. Okay. So Alex, this part of the show goes a little faster. It's 1 minute responses. The three most important points of my show. Okay. Which are, because you know, if we want to move in a direction, I believe first you need to be able to envision it for yourself.
Yes.
Second, you need to explore it. And the third thing, you need to execute a plan. So if we were to move people in the direction that you shared with us today, how can they envision this for themselves?
Perfect. So the mind works in pictures. So in order to envision things, you have to actually start imagining it in your mind. So I would take, you know, 10 minutes a day, whatever it is you're trying to do, and imagine what it is. Get really specific. What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What does it sense like? Like, what is the thing? At first, you may not be able to see crap, but as you do it more and more and more, that picture is going to get really, really clear. And the clearer that picture is, the better it'll start coming into you and the more you can actually go out and get it.
Excellent answer. And if they want to share their voice like you, if they have a gift, so many, and that's one thing, and I know we can make a lot of jokes about all the people who can't sing, who get up for karaoke, but wow, what a medium it is for people who can sing that don't have an outlet.
Yeah. You know?
There's so many people who do have beautiful voices but don't use it. So let's say we're referring to singing here. If they envision themselves, and some people might envision themselves on a small stage or a big stage or church, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Or even just getting up at karaoke. Or like I said, the duplex is a piano bar. Mm. You know, have you ever sang there?
No, but I've sang at Birdland, which is sort of similar.
Oh, I'd have to check that out.
Okay. Yeah, it's really cool.
So how now that they're envisioning whatever, let's say it's singing and they're envisioning it for themselves and they can see themselves doing it. I think that is so important. I mean, number one, you're mapping your brain to achieve it. And number two, you're feeling it, because if life really is thought, you're experiencing it and it's genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to imagine you're in it now. Not that it's somewhere, you know, ahead of you. You're living it now. Even if you're not externally, internally, you will have to be.
Right. Okay.
And so as far as getting the action going, it's not about singing. It's not about any of that. It's about your own gift. You know, what's your gift? And then you're going to have to face your fear. That's really the biggest thing about it. Because the problem is, we all know inside what we should be doing. I believe that.
Wait, before you tell them how to execute the plan, what would the exploration process be?
Well, that is the exploration process. The exploration process is going out and doing it. You know, I mean, the thing is, you can't wait around, you know, because that's the thing. It's like so many people have this great vision and all these dreams and all this stuff, but then they don't do anything with it. So the exploration process is, in fact, doing it. And
but
it's
how do they find it?
Well, they find it by envisioning.
Well, they envision it, but it's like, okay, now where do I go? I don't know where to go with that.
Exactly.
You know,
that's sort of the point. You have to lean into that, and you have to, obviously, you have to, if your vision is super crystal clear, you're going to see things that are very obvious to you. As for instance, you're going to see a stage, or you're going to see a computer, or you're going to see yourself doing certain things in a very specific way. And then you can start writing those things down, start being very intentional and try to design a game plan and all that. But the point is, you just have to go out and start testing things, because you never know what's going to work. Now, obviously, you don't want to just be willy-nilly about everything, but, you know, learning comes from doing. Knowledge is not learning. Like, knowledge is only power in action. So you have to go out and do it. You have to just try it. Like you're doing right now. You're doing this podcast, right?
Yeah.
That's the exploration. Like you said, a couple interviews ago, you feel like you're getting more and more comfortable. Well, of course, because you're doing it. You're exploring. That is the exploration.
So are you singing at church now?
No, I'm not singing at church, but I sing on the podcast all the time. You know, I sing on, but for me, it's not about singing anymore. You see, that's just a conduit of inspiration for me that helps other people.
That's exactly what I wanted you to move into here, because that's the big thing about Alex, everybody, is everything was about his voice, and that moved him into giving. And that right. sense of giving and gifting moved him into coaching. And right. that coaching moved him into podcasting, writing. Correct, Alex? What other things are you doing besides your one-on-one coaching?
One-on-one coaching. I'm developing seminars now. I'm connecting with people who are just doing epic stuff like Mastin Kipp and this other guy who I'm so excited about, who I can't even talk about yet because it's so under wraps, but like we're developing this huge thing. But none of that would have happened without my vision first, right? And right. But what I'm trying to say is, and this is why I'm saying this, is because so often we think that we have to have everything figured out, right? No, these steps become clearer as you go. So you just start with one thing. Like for me, it was just doing a little workshop. And then that turned into, okay, how can I make that bigger? A podcast. Then that turned into, okay, how can I reach more people? Seminar. You see what I'm saying? So like the exploration comes in the doing. That's what I mean.
Oh, I totally get what you were saying. And yeah. And it is, life is an exploration.
Yeah, it's evolution.
Right, absolutely. So since it is a process, where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
5 years from now, I see all your listeners listening to my podcast.
Okay, good.
I see you having a great podcast too. I see me having a seminar that's ready to go, an online course that is tied to it, a book that is published, and just helping lots and lots of people. And continuing to push my comfort zone and my fear and be married and have a beautiful, maybe a kid. I don't know. That might be too much right now to think about. But that's my vision.
That's a great vision.
Thank you.
What closing advice can you give listeners?
I would say the main thing is face your fear. Whatever it is, face your fear. I promise you're not going to die. It will feel like death, but in that death, you will find new life. You will heal and you will inspire others.
Right. And you'll be excited about life, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. So everything you gave, a lot of great information, a lot of good resources that we'll make sure to include in our show notes.
Great.
And I know that you'll be a part of our Motivate Me, the Ultimate Support System Facebook community group.
Yeah.
But how else can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, actually, I would love to offer your listeners, I'm going to offer them 5 breakthrough coachings. So 5 free breakthrough coachings. I'm going to give away 5. So the first 5 people who email me at alexfkipp@gmail.com will get that. Then also, obviously, you can go to my website. It's alexkipp.com. Where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I'm always just giving a ton of value. And you'll find my Soul Feed podcast there, and you'll find my Kipp TV channel, and just everything I'm doing. So yeah, check me out. I would love to connect with your listeners. I just love helping and inspiring others.
That's great. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I know we talked about a lot of things that people can take and think about, be still with, and apply to their lives.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Okay, so for today's Go Do, we opened the show today with a quote from Emily Zola. And she said, "If you ask me what I came into this world to do, I will tell you, I came to live out loud." I want to know, what does living out loud mean to you? Write it in a journal or post it on our Facebook page. I hope to be talking to you about it soon. And remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.